The truth of the matter. Answering questions people are asking with biblical truth. The truth of the matter is brought to you by Vision Media, an outreach ministry of Southside Baptist Church in Lakeland, Georgia.
Years ago, before I had brain surgery, I had a bad heavy foot. I mean bad. I drove so fast everywhere I went. It was terrible. Well, when I got that brain surgery, I just slowed everything about my life slowed down, even my driving. I still don't drive well, but it's not fast. I just can't keep it between the lines real well. But back then, I had a heavy foot. This is a true story. I know my true stories bother some people, but just hang in there, if you will, this morning. I was going to seminary every Monday or Tuesday up in Albany. And so I was running late one morning, I guess. Maybe I wasn't. But I was flying through a little town called, is it Poland? Yep. Poland? So some of them will probably watch this on our TV program. But I was flying through their little town to get to Albany. And while I was going, I got caught. So this guy pulls me over, and I didn't want to have to pay for my insurance. I didn't want to go on my insurance and all my insurance get jacked up. And so I called a lawyer. I don't even remember who the lawyer was. I can't remember. But anyway, I called a lawyer, and I said, "Is there any way you can help me? I don't mind paying. I just don't want it to go on my points. Is there any way you can help me?" He said, "I can help you." So he called the judge. And the judge said, "All right, here's what we'll do." And I did have to go to court. Here's the good thing about this. The statute of limitations has run out. Y'all can't fire me. It's been over 10 years ago. So I went to court. And, of course, here's what he said. He said, "You pay this fine." And he said, "And then you have to go to driving school. Y'all know where this is going. Well, driving school is actually DUI school. And so I wasn't DUI. I give you my word on that part. But I was sentenced to go to driving school. So the story gets even better. So I pull up to DUI school on my Saturday morning, pull up, and there is a church from Homerville selling baked goods on the sidewalk in front of DUI school. True story. So I go to walk in, and I know all these people. I mean, I was born in Homerville. I know every one of them. So I'm walking. I literally have to walk past them to get into the DUI door. And you can imagine, I'm trying to explain to them what happened, and the more I explain, the worse it got. Now, 10 years later, I tell you that story, I'm kind of laughing about it, but here's the problem. The problem is that I have no doubt in my mind, there were some people who stumbled over that day. There was no way out. There was no way out for anyone to... And again, some people in here, this is the way some people see that. Well, Brother Austin, you weren't drunk, so it's none of their business. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is some of their business. It's just the way it works. It matters. It mattered deeply. In fact, I saw one of those guys recently. I mean, this has been a recent last couple of years. And guess what he reminded me of? He didn't ask me how my family was. He didn't ask me anything. He said, "You remember when I saw you out there on the sidewalk that day?" They remember. It matters, is my point. So I want to get to the closing points real quickly this morning, because it's going to take us a minute to walk through them. Number one, every born-again believer in this place should be two things. Not just saved, but if you're a Christian, you have to be considerate of others. God help us as Southside Baptist Church. All these people that's in this room this morning, please, for goodness sake, understand, be considerate of other people. Be considerate. There are other people out there, and they're watching you. And if you claim to be saved, and people know that you come down here to Southside Baptist Church, here's what I can tell you. They're watching.
Yes, they are.
Their eyes are on you. And Paul's whole challenge here is be considerate of them. In fact, Paul addresses this in another place in Romans 14 through 23. Look what he says. He says, "I know, and I'm convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus, that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat." And this is Paul. Paul says, look, the Old Testament dietary laws, Paul said, that went out with Jesus. When Jesus died and was resurrected, you can eat pork. I don't necessarily suggest it, but you're not going to hell for eating pork. And everybody in here said, "I sure hope not." So that's not the issue here. But it was an issue with Jews, because the Jews had been under dietary laws. But Paul was a Jew, and Paul said, since I've come to faith in Christ, there's no food that is wrong for me to eat, morally wrong for me to eat. But look what he says after that. He says, but if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person it's wrong. Now he's getting into conscience issues. Conscience issues that for the most part were dependent upon immaturity issues. They hadn't yet reached a place of knowledge. So he says this, he says, there's wrong. Verse 15, but if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you're not acting in love if you eat it. There we are, we're back to it. So this is for the crowd that's always harping on my liberty, I can do this because I can do it. Paul says, if you do that anyway, and you know you're offending a younger believer, Paul says you're not acting in love if you eat it. He says, don't let your eating, I love this, don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. In other words, don't let your liberty to do that cause someone else to stumble. I'll deal with that more in just a moment. Then he says, then you'll not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. There's that build each other up. He says, you're tearing other people down when you're using your liberty and you don't care about what others think. I think there's a little bit, is there a little bit more on that passage of Scripture? I thought he went a little bit farther on that. But here's his whole point. He's saying, don't use your liberty to cause someone else to stumble. He's making a clear point. He says, don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, foods are acceptable, but it's wrong to eat something if it makes another person, here's the word, if it makes another person stumble. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. He says, it's better not to eat meat or to drink wine. Now, that one resonates with us. The second one does, because this is the big issue in our culture. He says this, because a lot of times, this is the thing that, you know, people in our culture pull out when they want to drink them a glass of wine. Usually, they can quote, you know, Jesus turned water into wine as they are down on a pint of liquor. Listen, that doesn't fit. It's not what it means. It's not what it means. So people do all they can to justify many times what they're doing. The issue of drunkenness is a whole different ballgame I may deal with in the future. It is always wrong. But here's what he says. Don't miss this. He says that if you're one of those who says, I just like to have my glass of wine, he says this. He said, if you say that and you know you're offending someone else that's a younger believer, don't do it. But it's my liberty. It's my liberty. That's the way we run around. My Bill of Rights. It's my liberty. Paul says, love is more important than liberty. So if you know it's offending another believer, a younger believer, if you know it's going to be a stumbling block to him, he said, here's the problem, because some people will just stand you down on this one, man. Thought about this one all week long. They'll just stand you down. In fact, I may get some mail and I'm going to forward all of it to Kyle. But here's the issue. You can't argue with people concerning that particular issue, but you can argue it from the standpoint of the culture that we live in. I'll give you an example. Let's just say, we're going to go to lunch after this. So let's just say that one of y'all comes into lunch after this, and especially some of our younger believers, and y'all walk in and Brother Austin's got him a tall one on the table. I'm talking about, I mean a big one. The issue at hand in that moment is what it does to that person. Here's what Paul's argument is. If you love that person, whether you have the liberty to do it or not, if you love a weaker brother, don't do it. Paul is saying love always trumps liberty. Love for other people and what it might do for other two other people, it always trumps what you might feel like you have the liberty to do. And Paul's making sure that the church understands this. He's saying, listen, your witness and your influence is so much more important than your little glass of wine. He's saying it's so much more important. You do not want to cause someone to stumble over something so small. So he's making a clear point there. He says, let's go to the next part. He says, remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. I can't even mess that up. What do y'all want me to do with that? You want me to skip it? He's saying this, he's trying to get across that your influence is so important.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Truth of the Matter today. I want to remind you that you can pay us a visit on the web at thetruthofthematter.com or southsidelakeland.org. If you go there, you can find our messages, and we also love to hear from you so you can contact us. We also want to invite you out to our churches. Cornerstone begins at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday morning. Southside begins at 10:45 a.m. in Lakeland. And we also have wonderful Wednesday nights for children, youth, as well as adults at both churches. So we would love to have you come out. At Southside in Lakeland, we also have a preschool, Bright Beginnings. And so if you're interested in that, go to the website. You can contact us from there. Again, that is southsidelakeland.org. Thank you again for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the rest of this message.
It's so much more important than your freedom. So much more important than causing someone to stumble rather than helping them step up. I'm going to get that in just a moment. He says that you may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it. For you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Again, he's dealing with the concept of consciousness, of your conscience. Now, look, if you will, at the second one real quickly. This is what I love. Be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. See, here's the whole point of what Paul is saying. Paul is saying this crowd over here who are young believers, they're still trying to grow. They have a certain level of dependence on this crowd, just like an infant newborn baby has on its parents. They're dependent on you, and he's not addressing them. But think about it. Paul's not addressing the immature crowd. Paul is addressing the mature crowd. He's saying, listen, be mature, be grown up. Don't do anything to cause them to stumble. In fact, what Paul would say is this, edify them. He used the word edify. He said, you should not only help make them stumble, you also should do everything you can to edify them, to help build them up. I love what it says in Exodus. I was hoping I could make this fit in this particular point, but remember Moses and Joshua, and it says that Moses said to Joshua, choose some men, go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It was when Moses held his hands up that Israel prevailed. When he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But this is what I want you to look at. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone, they put it under him, he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands and they held him up. This is a picture of what Paul is talking about. We should be, as mature believers, we should be doing everything we can to hold up the hands of those who are weak, those who are less mature. We should be doing everything we can to support them, to provide a stepping stone to maturity. God has called us to do that. So I want to call on some leaders in this church. Stop touting your liberty and fall in love with the less mature and lay some things down so that they don't stumble over your liberty. He's being so clear here. He's saying, you have the potential. You have the potential to be a stumbling block and to cause people to stumble. And by the way, I'd say this to you. You know this works almost everywhere. This works when you're out in public. You know, when you're somewhere and you have the opportunity to not do this kind of conduct, not to partake in whatever the conduct might be. The whole point of this is that people are watching you. Let me talk to some parents in here. Stop telling your children to stop doing things they're watching you do. They're going to stumble over you. They're going to stumble over your hypocrisy. See, the Bible says this, it's better to get a millstone and tie it around your neck than it is to offend one of these little ones. And I encourage you to understand your children can stumble over you quicker than they can stumble over anyone. I'm not preaching perfection. You're looking at the most imperfect parent in this place. But I want for there to be this love for my children to which, you're going to see this in the end of this, to which I'm willing to, there's just things I'm just not going to do. Even if I had the liberty to do them. I'm not going to do for the sake of my kids and my grandkids. And Paul is, listen to what Paul is saying. Paul is saying it matters. Here's what Paul is addressing. He's saying, here's what matters. Y'all ready for this? Your conduct matters. See, one of the easiest things you can do is talk about being a Christian. One of these things you can do is come down and get ready and come down here on Sunday morning for an hour and a half and sit on these pews. It's one of the easiest things you'll do. But what Paul is saying is that your conduct, what you do, how you live your life, it matters deeply. In fact, let me read this one real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Paul addresses this in the second letter he wrote to the Corinthian believers. It says, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. Look what Paul says. This was such a big deal to Paul. This issue of stumbling was such a big deal to Paul that Paul said, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we're true ministers of God. We endure troubles, hardships, and he goes through things he does. The whole point of it is Paul is saying this. Paul's saying, people are not going to stumble over the way that I live my life or the way that I do my have the way that I live out liberties that I have in Jesus. Paul said, other people matter more. How much do they matter to Paul? Well, if you'll look at the last part there, there's love and sacrifice. I love verse number 13. It's probably my favorite part of this. But look what it says. It says, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, this is crazy. I will never again. This is a lifelong commitment. I don't know if this is true. You can go back and check me, but I glanced at it to see. I want to think this might be the only time in this particular text Paul got this personal. He's been talking to them the whole time. Now he turns around and says, here's my commitment. Paul says, I am so committed to other people, and I care so much that I help be a stepping stone for other people, not a stumbling block. He said, if I find out, again, not for Pharisees, but if I find out for a young believer that my eating of meat is causing that young believer to stumble over me, to legitimately stumble over me, Paul says, I'll never eat meat again. You say, my goodness, what is wrong with Paul? Nothing. Paul is dead on. Paul is saying, listen, my influence matters. Your influence matters. Several years ago, I went to a convenience store in Homerville. I had a hat on. That was a, I'm not going to tell you what it was. There's this guy at Cornerstone. He can't stand it when I do that, so he always comes up to me after and says, tell me what it was. But I'm not going to tell y'all what it was. But it was written in cursive. It was promoting a sports company. And it was clear. I mean, it wasn't something that I thought was ever even questionable. So I walk in this convenience store. Again, it's Homerville. I was born there. I know just about everybody over there. And so I walked by this guy, and I saw him look at me. I mean, he looked at me strange. And I went on out there and paid my money, and I was going to walk out. Well, he was waiting for me. And he looked at me, and he said, are you still a preacher? You know how this is. There's been people waiting 28 years for me to fall. And I said, yes, man. Still preaching the gospel. And I was excited. Yeah, still a preacher. He said, well, you're still a preacher. I can't believe you'd wear a hat with that on it. I thought, what do I have on? And I read it, and it was, I mean, all it was a sports company. Well, he had misread it. I mean, he had totally misread it. I said, listen, that doesn't say, he quoted what he thought it said. I said, that doesn't say that. That doesn't say that. Here, and I was just spell it out for him. I said, that's not what the hat says. Well, yeah, I didn't go home and burn that hat because I thought most people can read clear cursive. But my point is that he looked at that and it offended him until he realized it wasn't the case. And it was another one of those moments in my life that I was reminded of the power of influence. You know, I titled this message, The Stewardship of Influence. And you know who stewards your influence? You do. And you have influence. If you're a Christian, you have influence. And you do. You have to be someone who will steward that, who'll take care of that. Because your potential to influence for good or for bad, it's all out there. And what Paul is saying in this whole text is Paul is saying what love does is love always looks for an opportunity to edify. Love always tries to help be a stepping stone for younger believers and children that you don't want to do anything. You want to guard it. You don't want to be one of those people who say, I don't care what anybody else thinks. You need to get over yourself.
Thank you so much for joining us today for The Truth of the Matter. Hope you enjoyed the message. Please pay us a visit on the web at thetruthofthematter.com.